welcome to another episode of Ordinary Old Catholic Me. Well, hello everyone who listens. I'm back from my little hiatus that began in December of 2023. I admit, though, I kept up on seeing my statistics of listenership on this podcast, and I expected a ground to a halt zero. But even though I haven't put any new podcasts, new content on for over, well, getting on 2 months, 3 months, I was pleased to see that while this little podcast isn't going to set the world on fire, it may still be of some use because there were hits, and I would say 200-300 hits in the time that I haven't been doing anything new, or even saying that I was doing anything new. So I really, really am pleased in a little bit of a prideful way, I admit, but I also know that I enjoy doing the program. I think that today I'll just offer some things that have come up as they relate not merely to life in general, but to how faith wove itself in and is continuing to do so, albeit quite sloppily in many instances. Here's something recent. When I went to New York back in August to visit with my 96-year-old aunt, I had begun to have a great deal of pain in my right upper thigh. Now, I had had a similar pain in the left a while before, but it wasn't terrible, and I simply dismissed it as one does with one's aches and pains. I've done that since I was a young person. A pain, an ache in the back or elsewhere comes, it goes, and you move on. But I'm no longer a young person. Still, the pain in my left leg sort of went away, and I went about my business when it began in my right leg, as I might have mentioned in some other episode, and I was about to take a trip to New York. I Googled possible reasons for the symptoms, and one popped up that made me afraid to fly, more than usual, as I already hate to fly, in case one reason for the pain was a blood clot, and I was in greater pain than I had been before. So, after an urgent care visit, some x-rays, and an MRI on the right side, since the left now wasn't bothering me, they only did the right with regard to an MRI, and my back, it was concluded I had moderate to severe osteoarthritis of the hip. I had one physical therapy treatment before I went to New York, but once I was there, the pain became worse, and after a while, even though I attempted to, I couldn't really walk anywhere. I even called my newly assigned physical therapist in L.A., but she really couldn't offer anything unless she saw me, which would be a couple of weeks later. I stayed nearby around my aunt's place, or I took a cab, giving up my favorite thing to do in New York, which is to walk about. When I got back, I dutifully engaged in physical therapy with various stretching exercises and the use of Pilates, which I really enjoy. And at first it seemed to be helping, but then in the last couple of visits, I came in with pain and I left with the same pain. At one point I had to actually use a cane, awaiting an appointment that I had made with the orthopedist. The thing that relates to faith in all of this is the following. Except for toothaches, and I've had a few of them over my life, and they weren't easily dealt with, this is the first time I have ever experienced chronic and sometimes pretty bad pain that began to limit my activities. Okay, I'm nearly 70, but withal, I've been a strong, early-ish senior citizen doing pretty much everything I've ever done. In the last 10 years, I cleaned out 2 or 3 apartments and moved stuff around and lifted boxes and gone downstairs with heavy objects, and until this past August, it began in August, it wasn't a struggle. With the onset of this arthritis, and though of course I know what limitations it can impose, I discovered firsthand the imposition of regular physical pain. My kind of pain, or suffering, if you will, has always been more psychological anxiety, ruminating OCD that can be quite extreme. And I thought that was bad, horrible. and often I asked the Lord to relieve me of it, as if I supposed nothing could be worse. But I came to something in those last months, and that, since suffering is inevitable, if I were to be given a choice between psychic pain or physical pain, at least of the sort I've had, and certainly no worse than what I've had, I'm putting a lot of conditions on the Lord, I'm sure he loves that, I would, at this moment, choose what I have become used to, as difficult as it has been, which are my psychological peccadilloes rather than physical pain. I actually was watching, streaming, an old show called St. Elsewhere, a medical show back in the 80s, and in one of the early shows, a character says something like, "God spare me the physical pain, and I'll take care of the moral pain myself." At first I thought, yes, that's great, that's how I feel, but I realized that that's a little bit simplistic, because the moral pain, I can't take care of myself either. I can't take care of that any more than I can take care of my physical pain. I can only do so much. Without God's grace, I am, I don't want to say doomed, but surely in serious trouble. But why, at least for this moment, would I say I would choose the psychic pain over the physical pain? Because with physical pain, a throbbing, a perpetual ache, that's all I seem able to focus on. It is somewhat true, for a bit, with psychological anxieties and fears, that they distract and cause diversion from tasks at hand, and avoidance of one sort or another, a period even of paralysis of action, but I guess I am used to that sort of, quote, pain, and usually I snap out of it and am very functional for key occasions. But with this physical pain added to my usual eccentricities, I wasn't able to adapt when the pain was bad. It's just there, and everything else gets closed out entirely. I could truly appreciate how our Lord on the cross was able to pray his 7 last words. While I guess I can negotiate my regular and prayer life with psychological distress of one sort or another, I seemed virtually unable to do so with the leg issue. Well, not entirely. Clearly I functioned, but if it were to get worse, or suddenly I couldn't walk, I would have to completely restart how I handle life. In between all of this, I actually finally had corticosteroid injections in both hips, which has helped a great deal, but I can tell, and I've been told, that it only lasts for a few months. So probably in a short time, and I think I see it coming, I won't be able to just get a shot and get rid of it. There are some other non-surgical solutions, but they are very few before you actually have to go to hip surgery. But I will seek them out. Now, many people have had to deal with physical pain and doing it right now, but I find myself really petitioning that the Lord won't send that. It has been hard enough with the sometimes irrational psychological stuff. If the two were combined, I fear that I would really be beside myself. But if it's physical pain alone, or both of them at the same time, I'm just not prepared. I really am not. I don't have an answer for this right now in terms of what will happen going forward with this arthritis. I know that's in the family, and that my great-aunt Mary, was crippled with it when I saw her last in the early 1970s. She was of a great age, but she was in a wheelchair and her hands were gnarled. She couldn't walk. I was less than 20 years old then, and it never occurred to me that I might be an inheritor of such pain. This recent rise of physical pain reminds me of that story about the man who came to Jesus and asked for another cross as he felt that the one he had was too much. Our Lord let him lay his cross down and invited him to go into a room where there were other crosses from which he could choose something that was less burdensome in his own opinion. The man did as he was told. He carefully selected a cross that he thought would be more tolerable. And when he came out of the room, our Lord said, "That's the cross you came in with." So, for years, I have lamented to myself how hard things were for me in making decisions and obsessing over decisions, fears of error, fears of going one direction over another, fears virtually of everything, which I have learned is a lack of trust in our Lord and perhaps a lack of love, but now I find that there is something worse from my point of view. I say, Lord, I won't ask to be relieved of my usual psychological or emotional laments henceforward, if you would only take away this physical pain, this physical problem. I hope I would be true to my word were he to do that, but I fear I would not be. But I can tell you, when sometimes there is a respite in the pain in my leg, and for the last month or so after the shots that have in fact given me a respite, I think, yes, yes, I can make that promise, if I have to offer something up for the salvation of souls and the reparation of sin, I would, if preference makes a difference, have the psychical pain I have known than this new kind of pain. When I'd get out of my chair to stretch and the pain was there in my legs and then in my back and back and forth, I thought, yes, I could make that exchange. Of course, this may all be a mere hypothetical exercise, as what the Lord wants of me is the key, and while he may take my wishes into account, his ways are not my ways, goes the biblical reminder. Then there is the ever-present admonition, be careful what you wish for, or pray for. A kind of connected thought or series of thoughts accompanied the one I posited. When I turned 50 or 60, and though I've always looked at things in terms of the eternal, in terms of my need to be, shall we say, good, as God defines good, not as I define it, that is, to serve him, to obey him in this life, to be with him in the next. What I lacked at that point, if I were to evaluate it from this vantage point, was a sense of urgency. Turning 70, which shortly I will, has somehow triggered that particular sense of urgency to prepare for whatever I have left of life, for the death that is not merely inevitable, as always it has been, but bordering on, if not imminent, statistically. That's not a morbid fascination, though people will often think it is, because to live better now, while I have the chance, better perhaps than ever I have, that becomes crystal clear as time shortens. So I went back to a book I had in my library that I thought I hadn't read, but I had in fact read nearly 3 years ago, The Lost Art of Dying, written by a medical doctor. I've mentioned versions of this idea before, Memento Mori, Remember Man that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Christianity used to put that reality in front of everyone, perhaps so much, as the doctor notes, that they became inured to it and began to ignore it. But now, in modern times, technology and hedonism has people denying death even as it happens around us all the time. 'Tis a paradox among the many paradoxes of this brutish modern time, brutish despite all the advancements of science and technology. I've personally seen how people fail practically to prepare for their deaths, who will take care of them, what happens if they suddenly get sick, and I've tried to make some of those preparations in my own life. I know where I'll be buried. Everything is paid for. I've left detailed instructions as to the handling of my person. Intellectually, I know about my finitude. I've always known. I've never self-deceived. But yet, I do not think I am prepared. There's only one way to be prepared, I'm thinking, aside from adhering joyfully, not with a resentful sense of obligation to the precepts in which I profess to believe about God, about his will. I have to truly take to heart that the suffering, whether it is psychic or physical or both, and Christ experienced both, is a precondition to eternity. It's not merely not optional. It is the essential door. Unless I can absorb that now, when I am relatively well, even with whatever I have experienced thus far, I'll run like a frightened bear away from God when I most should direct my heart and soul to him. Lately, this is what I worry about most and pray about most, my mini Gethsemanes. We all have them. And then, finally, I was listening to, I think it was the Patrick Madrid show on Relevant Radio, or one of the shows of Relevant Radio, and someone called complaining about what the Catholic Church considers salvific action or response by his creatures. I've heard this complaint before, even from people I know. You know, that's enough for us to be just good people, to be kind, to be giving. No need for any adherence to any particular faith or to be baptized. In the interest of amity, of not wanting to get into debates or to offend anyone, even I, as a Catholic, tend to avoid what I believe as a Catholic, what the Catholic Church believes. It is not enough if the coming of Christ, his baptism at the hands of John, his death and resurrection, his ascension and coming again to judge the living and the dead is true. It is not enough. Baptism is the initiation into all of that, into his life, but mostly into his death, so that our deaths will be transformed. When someone says, I'm a spiritual person, or I do good, the measure of that good isn't something beyond us. It's merely me. God will accept me just as I am. But there are a couple of problems. One, biblically, certainly in the New Testament, God accepts you just as you are, but he also recognizes that you are a fallen creature, and he hopes that we recognize that we are fallen creatures, and that he accepts me and loves me, but he expects something of us, just as a parent expects us to fall in line and obey. That obedience is ultimately for our own good, not for the good of God. And then there's the problem is that what if you're only good in your own eyes, and the fact is you are no good, objectively. It's a little prideful, don't you think, to say that all I have to do is to be good, and I'm the one who decides what is good. I am both actor and evaluator, the proverbial bootstrap argument. And if that's all it took, then the world would already be a far better place. It's because nominally religious and non-religious folks decide for themselves what is good relative to themselves and their society's powers, and the world is on the verge of collapse. Oh, people say, well, even with religion, people are bad. Yeah, but there are people in religion who are trying to adhere and hold the fort while others sort of walk away. Without religion at all, without the idea of the transcendent, there are no boundaries. There is no guardrail, except the one which we create for ourselves and withdraw for ourselves. If I weren't a coward, I would say, especially to the ones that I know best in my circle, my family and friends, yeah, you need to be baptized, and into the Catholic Church, into the life of God, with water and the Spirit. Yes, you need to know the dogmas and the doctrine about family, about chastity in marriage and outside of it, about who and what is truly salvific. Saying all I have to do is to be good is telling God how you will save yourself on your terms. The goal is eternal life. Only God can get us there, and what we have to do is cooperate, to join, to become part of his very self. There are simply some objective truths that aren't dismissed because I or you say that they are. We were born into perfection, but given free will to throw it away. We had the choice, God or our need to be gods. We still have that choice. Adam and Eve made a choice that threw us all into chaos, the sin of pride. We can do it ourselves. They got thrown out of paradise, and again, still mankind. Though God offered his hand in an unrelenting love, we loved not and said, yet again, we can do it ourselves. And then God came and became one of us and said, this is how you become good. You follow me. You do what I did. You die to yourself. Good is what I tell you is good, not what you design for yourself. Be baptized. Be holy, which only comes by following his will. Determining what is good can't be a personal decision, where my decision is as good as yours, and the only way one or more good becomes primary is by the exercise of power by another human being. Your determination of good is going to be different from the myriad of others out there. We are seeing that right now, and then being told by power that no objection may be interposed. Might is making right. There has to be an objective good, true, and beautiful, or always there will be chaos. So, salvation is through Jesus, through the Trinity, and our cooperation, and baptism sets us on that road. I ran across a short lesson from Bishop Barron on this very subject called What You Believe Makes a Difference. To be a good person objectively, I have to participate in the divine life, which I do, I believe, and I offer it to you as a Catholic. Again, I understand that will be disagreement, as always there has been, and likely always will be until the end of time, which these days feels perilously close. But it is my obligation in charity to speak the faith I believe is true, and which, lo, these many years I've been trying to follow. Why are we here? To serve God in this life, so to be with him in the next. What gets in the way? Sin. Sin is rebellion against God, turning away from him and looking to ourselves and our pleasures as if we are in control. It creates chaos. Jesus came to show us the way, that he is God, that God is the way. He was born in the humblest of fashions, a helpless child. He grew, he made it clear that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he came to rescue us from ourselves by becoming one of us and suffering the punishment of the damned, though he did not deserve it, so that we may learn to suffer knowing that the door of eternity had been reopened. Meditating on the life and death and resurrection of Jesus teaches us how to do what he came to do and did. It's not whether I think I am good by my own lights. It is whether he thinks we were good by whether we chose God or the devil. It's that simple and that hard. And in a way, for me, it's getting harder now that I'm about to turn 70. All the more that I must pray for persistence for his every abounding grace. And so ends a return visit of ordinary old Catholic me. And you notice there's a slightly different theme. I have this app that allows me to create my own stuff. I don't do it very well, but I kind of liked this one, so at least for now, that's going to be the theme. So if you're enjoying the program, let me know. Maybe click like on the website, or send me a comment, or keep listening. Tell everybody you know about the show, and let's get going again.